I want to share a few words with you. Happy Mother's Day. And I want to share a little bit of some things that I have learned from my mom, some lessons I have learned from my mom. Now, you have to know that as a kid, my mom probably definitely as a younger boy, she was so influential in my life. She was the one that discovered that I had dyslexia. She was the one that spent countless of hours doing flashcards with me. She worked tirelessly to get me to where I am today. And so I have so much love for my mom. And I tell her, I say, well, Mom, I'm going to talk about you. She goes, oh, man. How can I ever come visit your church? But these are all good things. They're all good things. And my mom had a way of saying a few things to me. See, I was a fairly impulsive kid. If you followed me around, if I thought about doing something, I just did it. And that always came with some consequences. And so I want to share with you four lessons that I have learned from my mother along the way. And then I'll make a spiritual application to them. Does that sound good? So the first was is this. What were you thinking? Now, there was a time when this first came out. I think I was about 4 years old, and I was with my buddy, and we'd found these little pieces of aluminum. It went around the whole window, those old aluminum windows, and they keep the window in. Anyways, I found this little piece of aluminum, and I had a great idea that we could throw them at each other like javelins. And so my buddy, he was really smart too, he said yes. And so we were throwing these things at each other, and I peeked around the corner of the house, and he was a much better aim than I was, and he hit me in the forehead. And of course, you know, metal forehead, the only thing that happens is that it cuts it right wide open. And those things bleed like crazy. And so I am bleeding, and I come into the house, and I said, Mom, I need you to fix me. And so my mother, she's doctoring me up, and she said, how did this happen? And I told her, my buddy threw this little piece of aluminum, and it hit me here on the forehead. And she looked at me, and she said, what were you thinking? That could have put your eye out. Now, as a four-year-old, I'm a little bit smart by now, and you know that there's a few things you don't say, but it was a little confusing because what I probably really wanted to say to my mom was, well, Mom, I wasn't thinking about anything except having fun. I wasn't thinking about losing my eye. I was smart enough not to say any of that. I just looked at her and I nodded, and I just shrugged. And as I thought about that over the years, like, what were you thinking? And this part of this little boy who was impulsive to do the things that he just thought about doing, this is my life lesson. Here's a life principle. Slow down and catch up with God. There are times in my spiritual life that I get going and I am ahead of God. And I get down the road to doing something, and I get this little bit of, what? And I hear my mom, what were you thinking? In Psalm 27:14, it says, wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord is to allow ourselves to catch up to what God is doing. You know, we live in such a fast-paced world, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and we're going here, and we're going there. We have this project that needs to be done, and that project that needs to be done. And I don't think we slow down enough and wait for God. What is he doing? Where does he want to take us? There's this Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that he is God. I love that psalm because if you read that psalm, you would find that it is a song, it's a warrior song. There's a warrior psalm. It is a psalm that is presented as a battle is going on. And in the midst of the battle, it says, be still, and I know that I am God. So in the busyness of our life, We need to hear those words of wisdom of my mom. What were you thinking? And go, I need to slow down so I'm not making mistakes. Because sometimes we get going so fast, and the things that we do choose to decide to do have consequences in our lives. So what were you thinking? As another life lesson that I learned. Now, this particular saying that my mom had, sometimes my mom would say things and it'd make my eyes just go wide. And it's like, whoa, really? Is that true? And the one saying that she would have at times is, I'd have some certain look on my face, and she'd say, if you don't get that look off your face, it's going to stick there permanently. Now, again, for a little guy, and you think in concrete terms, it's like, really? And yeah, I jump up on the counter in the bathroom, and I try to replicate the face. Like, what would that look like if it just stayed there? And maybe you've looked at me and said, whoa, can you get that look off your face? But there's something about the way that you and I act, things that we do, or maybe the things we hold on to that can permanently affect us, or at least affect us to the place that it's not good. So as I thought about this, and I thought about that, you know, if you don't get that look off your face, it's going to stick there permanently, I thought, well, what is the life lesson that I can learn from that one? And I think over the years, this is what I've learned. Don't hold on to offenses. They stick to you. And if you don't let them go, they're going to stick there permanently. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, don't hold on to offenses. Love does not keep a record of wrong. Love does not keep a record of wrong. Now, I am thankful that God, that I can apply that to God, aren't you? That you and I can say, yeah, you know what? His love, he keeps no record of wrong. We ask for forgiveness. What does he do? He forgives us, yeah. And as we sang earlier, he cleanses us white as snow. And if I was to do something and say, oh, God, I'm sorry for doing that, and I went back and I said, Lord, do you remember that? He'd say, I've forgiven you for that. But what do you and I do for the people around us? Do we hold on to an offense? Do we hold on to something that somebody has done to us? And true love does not hold on to those offenses. The people that can recall the things that you have done wrong. Oh, I remember that, and I remember that. It gets old and it gets tiresome. And as I have spent 30 years in ministry, I have dealt with people who have held on to offenses where they have hurt people. And sometimes they have been hurt. But you and I need to let it go. There's a saying out there that says this. It says, unforgiveness is like a trickle that meanders around in the brain until it cuts a deep channel where every thought and intention is drained into it. That's not where I want to be. And so I need to make sure that I let go, that I learn how to forgive. And I learn how to forgive by learning from the Master who has forgiven, who has poured out his love for us. All right, you ready for another saying? This one always came using my full name. And this one came later in life. It came when I was a teenager. And my mom would say, Scott, Bruce, Hemingway. Now I knew I was really in trouble. And I knew that I had really blown it when she said this. Wait till your father gets home. So she had dealt with me, and she tried to deal with me to the place that now Dad was going to take over. Wait till your father gets home. My eyebrows would go up, and I would think, oh my goodness, I am in trouble. Now, the life principle is that I'm accountable for my actions. I don't fear God in the sense that God is gonna, he's gonna get me. But I do believe that I need to fear God. That because he loves me so much, that I'm accountable for my actions. Psalm 32:5 says this, I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So I am accountable for my actions, and therefore I need to come before God and keep a short account before him. I need to come and say, God, I have done wrong. I'm not going to try to hide from it, but I'm going to be honest before you. And this is what I've done wrong. Proverbs 28:13. This is the wisdom that we read in Proverbs. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses, forsakes them, will obtain mercy. So he who confesses and forsakes them, our transgressions, will obtain mercy. The wisdom here is that it tells us that if we hide our sins, we will not prosper. Sin has a way of holding on to us. Sin has a way of pulling us away. Sin has a way of dealing with us that brings us into darkness. But God's way of, as we confess our sins, it brings us into the light. It releases us. It takes the shackles off. It gives us freedom in Christ. Jesus says, I've come to set you free. And when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. The truth sets us free. And what is the truth? The truth is God. He is truth. The truth is that he has a plan for us. And will I trust that truth? But I need to acknowledge and be accountable for my actions. God sees everything. You and I can't hide anything from him. He knows our thoughts. So let me be honest before him. Not that I fear God when God gets home. God is home. But I'm not going to hide my actions. Here's my fourth principle. Well, I should lead up to this here a little bit. This one came, the first time it came to me, my mom asked me, I was a teenager, she asked me if I'd go clean the garage. I said, sure. And I had wanted to go be with my buddies. And it was before there were video games, so we were doing probably something outside, like walking on stilts or something like that, or riding our bicycles backwards, I don't know, some silly thing like that. But I wanted to be with my buddies, because they were going to have fun. And so I cleaned the garage. And when I got done cleaning the garage, of course, before I could get loose to go be with my buddies, what did have to happen? And the inspection, yes, mom had to inspect the garage. And so she inspected it all right. And she said this, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And then she added this question, if you were doing this for Jesus, is this the way you would do it? No guilt intended at all. No guilt intended at all. And I looked at it. She tells me this is what I said to her. I looked at it and I said, yes. I don't remember saying that. My mom has a good memory, though, and I'm sure that I did. But as I thought about this in my life journey with Jesus, if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. And thinking about living my life, if I was living my life for Jesus, is this the way that I would do it? And I hope the question is yes. And I think that the life principle is this of Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the glory of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. God is worthy of my best. He's worthy of your best, no matter what that is. And whatever that looks like in whatever I'm doing. You know, what I like about this as well is it says, and whatever you do, whether word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I think this part of giving thanks is so important because there are some times that God is asking me to do something and I'm going, really? Do I have to? And if I have that attitude, I'm probably not going to do it very well, am I? If I'm looking at it and I'm seeing it as something that I have to do, then I'm not going to find the joy and the release that comes from wanting to do it or wanting to please my Father. So yeah, there are some jobs that are not easy to do that he asks us to do, but I want to give him thanks and say, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you have called me to do this job, even though it's not an easy job, it's not a good job, not a pleasant job, it's not a fun job, but I will do it with all my heart. Because if you've called me to do it, it's worth doing it right. It's worth doing it right. What in your life has God asked you to do? What is he asking you to do? Who is he asking you to love? Who is he asking you to give to? Who is he asking you to be part of their world or to give of your time, your talents, and your treasure? And you can do it going, well, I guess I have to. Or you can do it and say, no, God has called me to. He's worthy of my best because you are worthy of his best. He didn't just give us anyone. He gave us his son, his one and only son. We are worthy of his best. And so I want my life to be worthy of his best. And I want to give him my best. So those are my four things that I have learned from my mom. Slow down and catch up to God. Don't hold on to offenses. I'm accountable for my actions, and God is worthy of my best.